I'm Michael Hall.
And I'm Andy Davis.
And we want to welcome you to The Deadvantage, the D&D podcast where two old school dudes, me and Andy,
talk about... we're old.
I'm feeling old. Every year. I don't know
why that happens. Every year. It's like time's passing.
Right. Well, what we do as old dudes, we talk about new school play.
That's right. We embrace the youth.
Embrace the youth. That's right. That's how we stay young.
That's how we stay young.
By playing one D&D or whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever. Guys, we're playing 7th edition. We're so far ahead of the curve. We're on 7th edition.
They can't wait.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And I just want to say, it's everything you would ever want from a D&D game.
That's right.
You personally, whatever you would want from it. Yeah, and of course, NDA'd. We have so many non-disclosure agreements. We really can't. I shouldn't even be saying 7th edition. I'm sorry. Like, we'll just delete all that out. It's just going to be a lot of beeps.
Beep, 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 beep. All right. Well, now that we've given away the farm.
Oh, sorry, guys.
That's right. I do want to just say, as we kick this off, Andy, I saw something really cool late last week, whatever it was. And it was you, man. You.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily you, but so much as Laura Bailey showed a dodeca donut on one of the socials for Critical Role. Yeah. Was excited about your donut. That was cool.
I know. It's pretty awesome. It's hard to, I mean, we've talked about the donuts here on the show before, but yeah, I'm very excited about the whole thing. It's been the reaction just has been great. You know, people just universally really seem to enjoy it. Yeah. So
go find Dodeca Donuts.
That's right. DodecaDonuts.com sponsoring this episode of The Bad Vantage.
Friends, sponsoring every episode. That'd be really true.
Guess what, guys? When you're the co-host, you get to be the co-lead sponsor
of everything.
Of everything.
All right. Well, what are we going to do this week? We're bringing back an old favorite.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody, it's face-off time. Which one of us is better? Face-off. Can we just put that on like reverb? Face-off. Face-off.
I need face-off music. I'm going to have to go find some face-off music.
Who do you want to be? John Travolta or Nicolas Cage? Like, we got to just decide.
I feel like I'm Nicolas Cage more than John Travolta.
Okay, I'll absorb the blow that is John Travolta at his campiest.
Well, at least just
although, to be fair, Nick Cage, look, just as a total sidetrack, I mean, that movie's pretty awesome. But it's like the
amount
of scenery chewing on everybody's part. Everybody in that movie was like, okay, yeah. So you have Nicolas Cage playing some crazy person who then has to play John Travolta playing that crazy person. I mean, it is like the level of meta going on there is just off the charts.
Well, the reason that I would be Nick Cage is mostly just because I have a lot of run-ins with Nick, actual literal run-ins with Nick Cage. I used to live in his neighborhood and I used to run into him at run into Nick Cage at the video store, and the video guys at the video stores hated him because he would rent movies and never return them. So they would always run into him there, and they'd be like, Nick, are you going to bring back the films? And he's like, what? He's like, you've got two films on loan.
You're going to return
something.
It's like...
Really funny.
Oh my god, that's great.
All right, so we're gonna do a face-off character build face-off, which is because we did a face-off last week, but it was magic items. Now we're gonna do a character build face-off.
We're gonna go back to the old school. We're gonna do a character face-off. We are going to be doing the infiltrator.
I know.
And so I think we're interpreting that pretty broadly. Examples traders might be the ninja sneaking into the castle. It could be the scout who is out seeking stuff. It could be somebody talking their way into the bandit camp, whatever that is. It's really, you know, it's just the idea that you have a character who is out in front of the rest of the party and is really the one who's trying to gather some information and bring it back.
The face plus, right? Or the rogue plus a little face or something. I don't know.
I guess it depends
on how you define it. Maybe I interpreted it very much that way. But you either are going to talk your way into something or you're going to sneak your way into something. It's one or the other, right?
Or some combination of the two. But exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, classically within D&D, it would be probably an assassin who is creeping forward in the dark, that kind of thing.
But be able to get in, get out.
But that's old school.
That's right.
And we're embracing new school. So I think we might be doing something a little bit different.
I think I might have given it something away, by the way, even I just answered the question. All right, Andy. Well, what do we do to kick off
I think it's time. I don't know. I'm holding in my right hand a 20-sided.
That's right. Let's do it.
Isododecahedron.
All right. I got 12.
I got lucky number 13.
Oh my God. This is the second time in a row you beat me by one.
But you know what? I'm going to use my prerogative to allow you to go first.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, today, Andy, we're not going to start inside the thirsty cougar.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to start just outside it.
That's right. You have to infiltrate everybody. Right. And this is the first step of infiltration, being outside the place you want to be in.
That's right. So today we start outside the thirsty cougar. You are big even for a hobgoblin and by far the boss's best tracker. This job certainly is below you, but what makes you good is following orders. And the boss told you to follow some lanky freak who is hanging around the hideout. So far, they seem weak and inept, so you are decidedly bored with this mission. Maybe you should just stab the guy and be done with it. The latrine of the thirsty cougar might be your best bet, and you follow him inside. That's where it gets weird, Andy. That's where it gets really weird.
That's where it gets weird. Seven-foot tall hairy guy following some lanky dude into a toilet,
into the bathrooms of the thirsty cougar. Well, first you think you have him dead to rights. Red velvet coat, ruffled shirt, dark glasses.
Oh my God,
check,
dude.
Check, check. But hold on a second. That's not the ugly freak. It's a gorgeous elf wearing almost the same outfit. She whispers something to you, and now you're buying her a drink and complaining how the boss treats you. She seems so nice and supportive. The next thing you know, you're marching back to the boss to ask for a bigger cut of the action. Today is definitely looking up. You hardly stood a chance, Andy. You have unfortunately met Corvus Darkholm. Corvus, and just a little bit more background on Corvus. Corvus was a good liar even before they learned how to really use their changeling powers. And since they come from a long line of great liars, their parents couldn't be prouder. Finally, once their sorceress magic came into play, it was game over.
Nice. So, yeah, we may thematically be in a similar area. I'm not sure why. Like, it's like we're two very good friends who spend far too much time. I can already tell mechanically we're going to be a little different, which is good.
All right, good.
Okay. So, Corvus Shadow?
Corvus Darkholm.
Corvus Darkholm. Okay. So, in my case, this is a week or two later, it's a quiet night in the Thirsty Cougar, another quiet night, until the bar doors swing open. And the people in the bar, the people who are there, they all turn to the door in the bar, and at first they see nothing until they lower their gaze a little bit, where they see a 3.5-4 foot tall, light-foot halfling with dark mid-length hair, a little ruffled. He has a wide face with an easy smile. A close observer might notice that his teeth are not that great. He's wearing a burgundy velvet suit.
Oh my God.
Wide lapels and a white shirt that's unbuttoned and a copious amount of chest hair with a red neckerchief tied around his neck. And then around his waist is a belt with a rapier on one side and a rod on the other. And he smiles broadly at everybody in the bar and says, "Why is this place so quiet? The night's still young. Let's misbehave. Meet Flynn Applehands, charmer, rogue, ladies' man. He's pretty horny, baby."
Nice. Oh my God. We totally made the same theme. Red velvet. Totally red velvet build. With ruffles.
Totally
shirt.
Different build. That's awesome.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's so funny. Oh my God. Oh, good. We might just have to go. Whoever wins has to go make a different character. Whoever loses has to go make a different character. We're gonna re-record the whole episode.
Oh my God. That's so brilliant.
Okay, well. So clearly both of us have leaned into the spy archetype and more specifically the parody spy archetype. So
the way we do these things, just as for those of you who may not have listened to a previous face off, is we do three rounds, and we do the first one is sort of super flavor, as you heard, and apparently we're both on flavor.
Yeah.
And then we describe the build a little bit, and then the final round, if we need it, we always need it, is like a convince me, any final things you can hold in back, secret bombs to make the other person subject to your amazing build powers.
Right.
And then we also build to level 8, and we build on a custom array of 17, 15, 13, 12, 10, 8, however you want to distribute it. So Andy, since you go first, I'll let you choose. Do you want to give us the in-depth mode of the build, or do you
why don't you do yours? We'll just go back and forth.
Sure.
Why don't
you do
yours?
Perfect.
And then
So I've made a straight up level 8 sorcerer of the Aberrant Mind, who is a changeling. So a changeling aberrant sorcerer, and Corvus comes from this long line, a family of infiltrators, people who their whole life is built around lying and deception, and it's at the highest art.
Right.
So as a changeling, let's just talk about changeling. Changelings are great infiltrators for all the obvious reasons. So a changeling is just a normal, featureless kind of humanoid. Who can adopt any shape they want to. So their main feature is as an action, so infinite number, as an action, you can change your appearance and voice. And you determine the specifics, including your coloration, hair length, sex, height, weight, and you can change your size between medium and small. You can look like another race, though none of these statistics change. None of your statistics change.
Right.
You can't duplicate the appearance of an individual you've never seen, and your form must have the same basic arrangement of limbs. So no third arms, no wings or anything like that. And your clothing equipment stays the same, isn't changed with trait. But you stay in the new form until you use an action to revert or until you die. So you can stay in that form as long as you want. You can switch it around, and you can do it as often as you want, which makes for an amazing infiltrator.
Yeah.
And then with the Aberrant Mind Sorcerer, what's really cool is that they've got psionic sorcery. So they have psychic defenses starting at level 6. They can resist psychic damage. They have advantage on saving throws against being charmed or frightened. And they can use their psionic sorcery to use their meta magic to cast their sorcery points to cast spells.
Right.
So it expands their spell list. I'm digging this character in it because I just like the idea. What I decided with Corvus was the idea that the infiltrator's in plain sight rather than hiding.
Yeah.
Just walks right on in. Has a deception of plus 11. So even
that's
at a level
good.
Eight, that's pretty baller. Then can also do performance and persuasion at plus 8 each. So really good skilled character. I took 2 feats rather than any of than ability score increases because I'll get to their stats in a second, but I took telekinetic because I wanted the invisible mage hand. So telekinetic gives you an invisible mage hand as a cantrip, which I think is again really on flavor for this character. So they come in, they can with sorcerers, you can do subtle spells. So you can do spells with once for one sorcery point without somatic or without the components, basically.
Right.
So
he
could walk in and start throwing around suggestion till the end of time, right? Just making people do things as long as I can convince it. And then also gave him skill expert so that I gave him additional proficiency in performance and then expertise in deception and then raised the charisma score on both telekinetic and skill expert. So from a lay down of stats, a 20 charisma at level 8, but then an 8 strength, a 10 dexterity, a 12, a 15 constitution to make a lot of constitution spells, a 12 intelligence, and a 14 wisdom. Again, just I feel like I just leaned into everything that would make this character just really, really good across all the basic sort of infiltration or straight up face skills. Including a lot of spells. So I'll get into some of the big stuff later when we do the convince bee, but I only have a few offensive spells. Most of the spells I've taken are much more sort of gameplay. Got Firebolt and Mind Sliver. That's great. But I got from the cantrip realm, I've got Gust, Mage Hand, Minor Illusion, Prestidigitation, and Shape Water. All things that I think are just really sort of on varying levels, really strong for infiltration characters. Shape Water is underrated as a cantrip because you can do just lots of crazy little things, including again
fill somebody's mouth with water.
That's right. Or make them slip or whatever. There's just so many little things you can do with all these push them with the mage hand, put water on the ground, push them with the mage hand, right? Like there's just
There's so many foot while they're stepping, while they're going out down the stairs, whatever it is.
Just lots of little things to create distractions, or, you know, if there's, or get away if you needed to. And then not a lot of offensive spells, but I've got, you know, I still have some good ones. I've got Arms of Hader. I've got Dissonant Whispers. But I think the big spells I would use the most is, like, I have Enhance Ability, right? So I can really bump up any rolls that I need. I've got Suggestion, as I mentioned before. That's what Corvus uses on the Hobgoblin. And Calm Emotions, Detect Thoughts, Hold Person, all the invisibility, right? Again, just really straight down line. A few offensive spells like Lightning Bolt, just in case you needed them. But mostly focused on spells that are designed to take advantage of subtle spell or twin spell. Those are my two meta magic options. So I can double something up if I need to. And I can do it subtly, right? So no one knows that I'm casting spells. So that's the big laydown of this character.
Okay,
you know, very much a glass.
I like cannon. It. Yeah, I mean, it is straight in on the setting aside the Austin Powers ness of them. I think it is straight in on the infiltrator component, right? It is like, and so on my side. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, just as a contrast, like I do want to continue to talk about anything. Like, on my side, I did consider a changeling. I thought about that. Like, I initially was like, oh, changeling. And I think from my perspective, I wanted changeling is not the most interesting in this circumstance, mostly because I like the subpar thing. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to figure out, like, how do I get to the infiltrator thing without doing the changeling component, right? I wanted to figure out a different way to get at it, but I do really like that in combination with the Aberrant Mind Sorcerer is like a super interesting build, and it is exactly that. I mean, frankly, it's a great evil NPC right? Oh my party God. With, right? Is to have this guy who's like, who constantly shows, who's just there, like he's the bartender and he's also the guy on the street and he's also this, and he's just following you around, you know. He's like every third NPC that you talk to is the same person, you know, who is, you could gaslight the bejeebers out of a party with an NPC.
How did they know that? They're not supposed to know that, DM. I don't understand.
Yeah. Like, they weren't there, you know, but it would be pretty brutal.
Yeah. The whole goal was just to make it very, again, he's still a glass cannon and suboptimal. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He can do combat. But like, it's not going to be, he's a glass cannon. He's going down quick. He gets caught.
Yep. Okay. So let me talk a little bit about Flynn Applehands. Flynn Applehands is the Lightfoot Halfling. So as a Lightfoot Halfling, he gets Halfling Luck. So he gets to reroll ones in his saving throws. And that kind of became that idea became the centerpiece of what I ended up making. So he has two levels of Divination Wizard, which gives him portent and also gives him access to some first level spells, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And then the rest of it is he has six levels of Swashbuckler Rogue, right? So he is a Swashbuckler Rogue, you know, and because I did kind of like lean into the Austin Powers part of it.
Right.
Like, Flynn is an infiltrator in the same way that Austin Powers is a spy. He's not necessarily a great infiltrator, but he's just he's the main character, right? He's got, like, I have built him with plot armor. So because of the 6-2 nature of things, and we're rogues, and he only has one ability, ASI. Yeah. So I didn't take the ASI, I took the lucky feat.
Oh my God.
So he has halfling luck. So this is where it becomes like super crazy. He has halfling luck, so he's going to reroll his ones. He has portent, so he has two rolls that he can substitute either his or the other person's for what he wants. And then he's also got the lucky feat, so he can, you know, if something doesn't work out, he can reroll it. To do that,
that's great.
He has, yes, and then he's got expertise in deception and persuasion. He's got expertise in sleight of hand. He has, you know, which give him like a +9 in deception and persuasion, and +10 in sleight of hand. He has 10 strength. It's not quite a dump stat, but it's close. A 19 dexterity. He's got a 12 constitution, 13 intelligence. His dump stat is wisdom, because, hey, he's Austin Powers. And then his charisma is a 16. So he's still pretty charming. And then my thought with him in terms of the infiltration part of it is he's just that guy who shows up at the bar and is super friendly and you know, tries to talk the pants off the girls and tries, or the boys, whoever right. is there. And he's, and if he's trying to get in somewhere, you know, if he's trying to actually like get through the door kind of a thing, he's got friends as a cantrip that he can cast, you know, at will. He's got disguise self and he's got silvery barbs. So he does become this, like, he's actually pretty, like, the, after I built him, I was like, oh, he's actually pretty baller. He's pretty,
yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty effective, because the fact that he can generate so much, like, he can really skew the numbers in his favor for not just combat, but also for all these other roles.
Yeah.
You know, he's
the ability to re-roll.
The ability to re-roll that often, it becomes like, you know, as a halfling, he gets like all the screwy stuff where you can hide behind other people.
Yeah.
He's a rogue, so he's got uncanny dodge. He's got all the bonus actions, the cunning action stuff. He's pretty fun character. Let me just go through some of his other, like, I went through the spell stuff. The reason I went for Swashbuckler was both an attitude thing, but also, like, if I make a melee attack against a creature, they can't make an opportunity attack yeah. against me. So I can, yeah. like, dart in and out of stuff. I have Rakish Audacity, which means I get to add my charisma modifier to my initiative. So my initiative is bonuses, like, a +7. Like, nice. My initiative bonus is bonkers. And I don't need an advantage on an attack roll to use my sneak attack against a creature. If I'm within melee, which I would be, and then I've got all the other stuff. But then I get, like, really the portent and the lucky feet are just, you know. So
those are really big. No, yeah, it's great. It's really good.
As a halfling, you get like the stuff, like you get you have advantage on saving throws against being frightened. I can move through the space of any creature that is a size larger than I am. So I can run through the legs of medium people, and I'm naturally stealthy, right? So, you know, so if I choose to kind of step into the background, and then also I have all the rogue stuff of I can actually step back and hide. And
I always like the mix of rogue and wizard. I think it really is an interesting, if you can keep your intelligence high enough as a rogue to make it work.
Yeah.
Or if you just focus on the non things that aren't necessarily spell save driven, right? That are
more sort of like just the stuff, functional. Yeah. So like his two spells are disguise self, which is you know, not that big a deal, and silvery barbs, right? Those are the two key
ones. You don't need
I don't need anything.
Oh my god, and then silvery barbs gives you another way to affect rolls.
Exactly. So silvery barbs, so like if you I can silvery barbs you, I can, and then I can take the advantage
for sneak attack
if you know, for some, you know, if I want to shoot somebody or
throw he can be really effective, really effective, surprisingly effective.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone built his infiltrator. Right. It's funny that you did that build, Andy. I went back and forth between this build and another build where I was going to do a druid rogue, and it was going to still be a changeling, but a changeling druid. So like could change all the physical shapes, but then also wild shape, but then also be I was going to do a scout rogue, because I was like, sneak attack off in wild shape just seemed absolutely. I've never built a druid rogue. I'm like,
that's kind of interesting. I don't know that I've ever.
I don't think I've ever seen it. So I'm like, it was.
I'd have to really read up on like how the it
works. Yeah, the mechanics.
Does the wild shape actually? Does the sneak attack carry over?
No reason.
The wild
of course shape? It does. Why? There'd be no reason why it wouldn't. And what was cool about that was like, again, a completely. You could go in as a human. You could also go in as a rat. Right. Like there's just so many other ways to infiltrate there. But I just thought the psionics, I really liked the idea of the aberrant mind, right? Somebody who's infiltrating in your face. Like, you know, right.
Well, there. In your face in two different ways, right? Like you're infiltrating where you're like, oh, I'm actually disguised.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking like this person. I'm doing this thing.
Yeah.
I'm doing it in a way where people can't recognize that there's magic being cast. Whereas Flynn is just straight up
in your face.
He's just straight up bullshitting his way into wherever he needs to go, and just relying on the fact that he's charming and kind of lucky to get him through the thing. You know, I mean, I think Lynn ego wise has a healthy dose of overconfidence, which I frankly love playing as a player.
I'm really liking Flynn, Andy. So maybe try to convince me a little bit more, and then I'll try to make my last plug here. On what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think I imagine a scene from one of the Austin Powers movies. I can absolutely see Flynn showing up and straight up getting caught. He's been caught by some bandits. and he's been put into a cell somewhere. And one of the guards, he starts chatting up one of the guards, and very quickly, just based on charm and the fact that he's using all these portents and luck and all the rest of it, you know, he's got their pants off, and they're basically doing the sex scene from one of the sex scenes from Austin Powers. God. And then they're allies. Oh, he is that guy, right? Now, on the other hand, it could also be that they catch him and he's picked the locks and he's snuck in, and he's in the background of the hall listening to the plans, or he's just cast disguised self as a scruffy prospector with a incredibly bad accent that's not appropriate for his minor, and is talked his way in. But I think, you know, the infiltration part of it is a lot of, again, bluffing and right. probably very broad character stuff. And then, but the thing is, as inevitably happens within these sorts of things, if and when he gets caught, you can see a fight where, because of the rakish audacity, you know, he attacks, he's cast Booming Blade, he has sneak attack. So let's say he's got a crit into the portents. He can then apply the crit with the Booming Blade and his sneak attack and the rapier. You know, he's all of a sudden doing, you know,
it's real damage.
Or 4d8. It's like 4d8 plus like 5 or 6d6. And he's, I mean, when he does have to
does
fight,
the booming, does the booming blade, does that scale up with your rogue levels? So do you get the fifth
it
level?
It says damage increases when you reach certain levels at fifth level. You deal an extra d8 of thunder damage above it, you know.
And I think that's only as wizard levels, right? As
a DM, it just says at fifth level.
Yeah,
it doesn't say, but I mean, so it really depends. But basically, you get...
You'd have to talk to your DM about that.
You have to talk to your DM, but, you know, you get a d8 for that. You get a d8 for the rapier itself. You get a +4. So that's 2d8 +4. He almost certainly is going to be able to generate sneak attack, which for him is another 3d6.
Yeah.
So 2d8 +4 +3d6.
Yeah. Crits would be a lot of fun.
And crits would, you know, and then all that gets stacked. Crits become like 48, 66. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're like, he's fully capable.
You're fireballing people with the rapier attack.
Yeah. Oh, and then he still has, and then let's say he's having it out with your guy, you're casting concentration, you're casting spells that he has to make spell saves on.
A lot of
his stuff's pretty good. His stats are decent to resist that stuff. His saving throws are okay, but not awesome. But he gets to re-roll. So I roll the 1 on the first saving throw. Oh, do it again. You know, have a better chance. Oh, that still didn't work. Guess what? I'm rolling lucky. He can just stack a bunch. Oh, you know, you made a save. He did something and you made a save against it. Let's say he's trying to deceive you and you rolled really well on your insight check. He's either going to swap out your portent or he's going to turn around and silvery barbs you and make you try it again.
Right.
You know, or let's say you hit him. He's going to silvery barbs it to make it go away or try to make
the battle. It'll be the battle of the silvery barbs.
Yeah.
It'll be pretty funny. That's great. I'm having a hard time finding any fault in Flynn. Flynn. You've got the duel. For those of you who don't know, in Mike Flynn is like the poor man's American version of James Bond with James Coburn from the late 60s, early 70s.
I totally forgot about that, but that's exactly right. He is also Flynn. Also in like Flynn and
poor man's James B. Well, I don't have a lot to convince you, but I do have a few things. So in the same vein of lucky, I have a thing called magical guidance. So via my aberrant mind. So when I make an ability check that fails, I can spend 1 sorcery point to reroll the d20 and then take the new roll. So I have an opportunity to do some of that rerolling for success.
At this level, how many?
8.
How many? You got 8 sorcery points.
Which is pretty good, right? And I would pretty much use them heavily on subtle or this, right? I'd keep 1 or 2 around always for this, just in case I miss a roll or I need to do something else. And then I've got enhanceability so that if I'm really needing it, I can keep that concentration up on enhanceability. I debated figuring out how to give myself guidance. I decided to go with because I could have I was
stuck a couple levels of cleric in there.
Well,
I did actually. Here's the thing, like very early on when I was trying to think of this infiltrator thing, I was like, it would be really fun to have a cleric of like the cleric trickery domain and be able to like have the duplicates and like really be able to kind of like confuse the issue by having your duplicates around.
Right.
I thought that
would be pretty cool. I was debating like taking Magic Initiate and then using the Magic Initiate to pick up some more cantrips, but it would have been cool. But I decided to go this route because I have Magical Guidance. Yep. That gives me a lot of stuff there, or just more flexibility in case I miss anything. Yeah. The real power here is just that I'm an 8th level sorcerer. So
yeah.
I've got a ridiculous number of cantrips that I can just, as I rattled off, Firebolt, Gust, Mage Hand, Mind Silver, Minor Illusion, Prestidigitation, and Shapewater, right? Like, so I can create lots and lots of distractions, and I can do them all without anybody knowing where they're coming from. I do have Silvery Barbs as well. So I've got Silvery Barbs and this other way to enhance my either my defense or give myself more advantage or, you know, change the roles. I've got a lot of concentration spells. That's probably my only weakness. And I kept trying to think, do I take more offensive spells? But I wanted this character to have many different ways to come into it. So I've got invisibility, I've got suggestion, I've got hold person, I've got calm emotions.
I do want to say with that, like you've got like what, a plus 11 on deception.
Yes.
I have a minus 1 on insight. 100% Flynn would be hitting on and trying to sleep with Corvus if Corvus were presenting as a woman and would never know.
Never know. Never know.
Never
not
know.
A chance, not a chance.
Never. Nope. Would never know what you were up to. Would absolutely give up all of the secrets.
That's right. That is the whole point. And then if the DM made me do a performance or persuasion check, I've got plus 8 there. So
yeah, exactly.
And I've got a plus 5 on insight, plus 4 on investigation. So again, I'm really stacked in this sort of I'm getting in and I'm going to find out the secrets kind of stuff. And I can calm emotions. I have the standard big stuff. I've got Counterspell. I've got Hunger of Hadar. I've got Lightning Bolt. And I've got Everard's Black Tentacles. So good.
Here's what I'm going to say. Corvus, 100% more effective actual infiltrator.
Not as much fun to play.
than Flynn, right? I'm still going to say Flynn takes it on a truer representation of Austin Powers.
Probably true.
You know, Austin, this is like the Elizabeth Hurley as Fembot next to actual Austin Powers,
right? Like, Heather Graham,
one of those.
So other thing I have is I do have some good offense. I can drop a Rolofin's Psychic Lance with 76 damage. I can drop a Lightning Bolt at 96 if I need to. I can summon Aberration. I've got some good backup because I'm an 8th level, magic user, right? So I can do some of those things. It's really just that I leaned into this one direction and I really wanted it to work.
I mean, just to add to that, I think this is a great example of like both the power and pitfalls of multiclassing.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I debated because if I could, I probably would have stuck with the druid rogue mix. But I couldn't quite figure out how to do it at level 8 multiclassing. Right? It really gets better one or two levels above that, like really good. And I just couldn't quite get the mix that I wanted out of it. But that's okay. You know, I also thought about Sorcerer. I also looked at Sorcerer Rogue as a way to sort of mix these two together. But I just felt like I was sacrificing too much and not getting enough out of it.
I
wanted, I also wanted that second feat because I wanted to take skilled, right? I wanted to expand either takes telekinetic or skilled, depending which one I take in which order. But probably if I was building it, I probably would take skilled at 8. Skilled is just such an underrated but amazingly powerful, flavorful feat. So you just gain proficiency, you gain one proficiency, you gain one expertise, and you get an ASI improvement. So, you know, particularly if you do it with like a rogue or a bard who already has a lot, like it makes you just crazy good in your skills. But it can make a character like a sorcerer who's not really broad in skills really give me a little bit more protection in the skill set. It's also why I bumped up my wisdom as opposed to my dexterity. I kept going back and forth. But because I wanted that plus 2 in wisdom just to expand my skill base. So I had, you know, strong skills across intelligence, wisdom, and charisma, really. But you know what, Andy? At the end of the day, Flynn is just too strong for me. I think I give you the win just because the idea of Austin Powers, and then you really lived up to it. I think my guy was a little too tricky. All substance in that description, and not nearly as much fun to play as what you described.
I was just thinking, like, the thing, some of the stuff that, as we think about, like, how the characters, like, evolve, you know, you were talking about sort of, like, the druid rogue thing. So right now I'm 6th level rogue, 7th level evasion shows up, 8th level another ASI shows up.
Yeah.
9th level, I get panache. So my charm becomes extraordinarily beguiling. There is Flynn would be a lot of fun. And I think he would actually hold up, you know.
No, he would be a blast to play.
Yeah.
Total blast play. I think I might actually build this druid rogue because the idea, like, the other thing was like being able to get the uncanny dodge and those things as in wild shape.
Oh yeah, that becomes super cool.
It becomes crazy cool.
It's very much reminds me of the rogue from the the druid
from the movie.
That was, right? That's what I was thinking. That whole like escape sequence of them. You know, I mean, that is basically exactly the character you're creating, and that's awesome.
Because you're a changeling, because I would have also done changeling there. It just expands the whole idea of there's like a totally immutable form, right? Or mutable form, not immutable. But like,
you could, I mean, the funny way to do it would be just to treat it as like you're a changeling, but you reskin it as you're basically an ooze. You're literally a sentient mimic, you know? And you're just like, I need to be this person. Oh, I need to be.
That's kind of what I was thinking is that like I was thinking like even as I might flavor the druid, it's not really druid so much as a function of their changeling, like really lean into the idea that the changelings can wild shape, right? Like that idea.
Yeah.
Not just change their human form, but change it. I do have polymorph on Corvus, so I could do some of that.
You're right.
But still, you know, at 4th level,
an 8th level sorcerer, aberrant mind or not, like, I mean, sorcerers, we should probably just do a sorcerer face off at some point. Because, I mean, they are, like,
really interesting,
very powerful, and like that whole like, so I don't really understand them that well in a lot of ways, but like you can just see just from your description, like, you know, an 8th level caster of any sort is always pretty powerful, but it feels like sorcerers, because of the things like twin spells, spell sculpting, all those sorts of things become like,
or quicken spell,
like all of a sudden you're like, I mean, you are now. To your point about glass cannon, you know, they do tend to be a little squishy, and they do tend to, but if you're they end combat quick because they can just pump out a lot of stuff very, very, very fast. Quickly.
Or subtly, right? Like they can get ahead of the action. That would be Corvus's goal is to, you know, if necessary, drop hold person on somebody before the thing even starts. Right.
Yeah, and well, the fact that you can do that with think about that. You could, if your job was not just to infiltrate, but was to take somebody out. Oh, come out here on the balcony with me, and then you cast hold person on them and push them over the edge.
Yeah,
right. You know, I mean, it's
well, I've got telekinetic. I've got telekinetic shove. I don't even have to cast hold person.
Yeah, but it's like, the ability to like cast hold person on somebody and they're quiet, right? You know, that you can do whatever you need to while they're just locked in place.
Yeah, and I can cast it at 3rd level or higher and drop it on a couple of people.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's
like
it's, you know, again, it's he wouldn't be weak, and he the one trick with sorcerers is that you just, you know, you choose your spells, and then that's what you're stuck with, right? Yeah. It's not like you don't get all that jack of all trades with the wizard gets, but you get to do crazy cool things with them. very flavor centric.
Yes. Well, I will graciously accept the win. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flynn
deserves it.
Pretty fun.
I love that we both showed up with red velvet.
When you said red velvet outfit, I was like, oh my god, that's it. we both were like
swagger.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you could be in the, maybe I should, oh, I was hey. Like, on the at first I was like on at first I was like, oh, maybe I should switch it to like a black tuxedo. And I was like, nah, he's too much of the rest of his description is tied up with
brilliant
with Austin.
All right, you want to walk us through the socials?
Yeah, so first off, I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. As always, you know, Michael and I have a great time recording these. They're a hoot. If you're looking for us, you can find us as the Dad Bandage Podcast on, I believe we are on Threads. We're also the Dad Vantage Podcast on Facebook and as well as Instagram. Yeah. You can find all of our socials and links to all the things, past episodes and our t-shirt shop and all that stuff at linktr.ee/thedadvantage. And yeah, please rate and review the show on the podcast software of your choice, whether that be Apple, Spotify, or all the rest of them. We're in all the places, but yeah. And then PPS, yeah, tell us what you think, you know, leave a review, let us know if there's stuff that you would be interested in seeing and all the rest of it. Yeah. It's been a... we've been doing this for like, what, almost 2 years now, Michael? Is that right?
Closing in, yeah.
Closing in on 2 years? I think that's... We're in our second year.
We will be 50 episodes will be 2 years. Oh my God. That's coming up. Ding.
We should do something special. Maybe like we should go back and revisit.
We would start redoing
our character face-offs, new ones. Right.
Yeah. Episode 48. 40. Yeah. We right around the corner. In just a couple, in new year, we'll be in 2 years.
Awesome.
All right. Well, what about, do you want me to take the
dad? Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's one more thing that we needed to talk about, which was imagine, Michael, if you walked into the Thirsty Cougar yourself and there was a long line of people waiting to take a swing at you. That's it. That's the punchline.
The punchline.
The punchline.
I walked right into the punchline.
You walked right into the punchline. Oh, that would have been a better way to end that.
You walked
right into the punchline.
Well, I just want to say thank you, everybody. Have a great holiday, whatever you celebrate. If you celebrate Hanukkah, if you celebrate Christmas, if you celebrate Kwanzaa or anything else, have a good one. Yep. Enjoy it.